broadcasting live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. I'm Jim Rome, O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Nice to have you here. Tremendous Wednesday to you. What's going on? How are you clones living right about now? Midweek, midsummer, excellent program for you. Who says there's nothing to talk about in the dead of summer? I've got a ton to talk about in a really good show. Let me set it up for you very quickly so you know exactly what you're getting today. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. We have the rest of this week. Then we have the smack off next week, July 28th, Friday. Get the day off. Either qualify to get in and take part or just take the day off. Make it a long weekend. 1-800-636-8686. You know by now to follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Best way to participate with the program. You don't need to wait on hold. You don't need to try and figure out what's going to happen when you get on the program. Just thumb out a tweet. Thumb out 5 tweets. Thumb out 10 tweets. Do it all day long. The best ones get read on the air. And you can shoot me your email at Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. Fired up about today's program because we are talking golf in 15 minutes with Rex Hoggard. British Open is today's topic. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. In hour number 2, quarterback for the L.A. Chargers, Philip Rivers. Hour number 3, the triumphant return of a jungle legend and a very good friend, Ben Mezrich. A lot of you clones. And I hear this all the time when Ben comes on. Hey, Rome, I never, ever read. But I read Ben Mezrich's books. Yeah, it's something to hang your hat on. That's something you want to lead with. That's something to wear on your chest, your sleeve. I don't read books. But man, I love Ben. Ben's tremendous, and he's got a really, really interesting new book out. He'll be in studio at the top of hour number 3. So look forward to that. You've got your phone number. We've got a lot to get done. Let me start today with some baseball, because yesterday was a huge day in the world of baseball. Multiple trades involving contenders. The Astros getting some bad news, and the sport, on the whole, getting some great news. There are so many different places where I could start, but I got to pick one, and it's hard to pick one. But why don't we start first with the bad news for Houston? The Astros announced all-star shortstop Carlos Correa is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a torn ligament in his thumb. Terrible news, and the kind of thing that would derail most teams, but it tells you something about how good that team is and how massive their division lead is, that they can lose an all-star, having a career year, and it's still not time to slam the panic button. Doesn't mean it's a good thing, but when you've got a 16.5 game lead after last night and you've got a super utility player in Marwin Gonzalez, it's not going to derail your season. You never want to see a player like this miss time, but if there's ever a time for Houston to lose an all-star, it's right now. They don't need him in mid-July. They'll need him in October, and they should have him back then. Tuesday also saw a couple of significant trades. Arizona got things started by dealing for J.D. Martinez from Detroit. I love that move. Love that move for Arizona. Totally brass. It's a statement trade. Statement being, they're not just happy to make the postseason. They want to make some noise when they get there. And they have really struggled against left-handed pitching this season. So they go out and they add the best right-handed bat on the trade market. And they'll most likely stick him right behind Paul Goldschmidt in the lineup. Even better than what they got in J.D. Martinez, is that they did not have to give up much to get him. But the Martinez trade was simply an appetizer for the 7-player trade that went down late last night between the Yankees and the White Sox. New York gets Todd Frazier, David Robertson, and Tommy Canley in exchange for 4 prospects. Like the Diamondbacks, the Yankees are looking to address a need with their lack of production at third base and first base. And they hope that Frazier's numbers this year, which aren't great, are more about bad luck than anything else. If nothing else, he gives them some pop. But if you're a Yankee fan, the thing that has to get you really worked up is the fact that a would-be, should-be, nasty bullpen just got nastier. Look, I know, Yankee fan, the bullpen has been a real issue of late. And that those arsonists back there seem hell-bent on burning every stadium that they walk into right into the ground. Also, Yankee fan, I know you pretty much hate Tyler Clippard. Yeah, well, he's gone. And sticking Canley and Robertson in front of Dellin Betances and Aroldis Chapman is nasty. It's filthy. And keeping with the model that has worked in the postseason, where bullpens start ending games earlier and earlier and earlier, I like that deal a lot for the Yankees. I like that deal. But the real news from yesterday is the return of Bartolo Colon. Big Sexy is back, which means baseball is back. Big Bart made his debut for the Twins last night against the Yankees. He looked awesome doing it. You knew it was a special night when the stadium DJ was bumping Sexy, and I know it, as Big Bart warmed up. Then he goes out and he drops a 1-2-3 inning on the Yankees' heads, including a backwards K of Aaron Judge on a two-seamer that was just awesome. In other words, grab some pine, young fella. Bart's back.
1-2 on Judge. And here's the pitch. He got him. Strike three called. Locked him up in a fastball. So Colon, welcome to Twins territory. A 1-2-3 first inning. Capped off with a strikeout of Aaron Judge.
All right, so sure, his stat line wasn't great. Four innings pitched, eight hits, four earned runs, three strikeouts, an ERA of 9. You know what I have to say about that? Please. First off, would it kill the Twins bullpen to pick my man up? He's out there busting it, laying his heart on the line, and you come in and you can't keep his runners from scoring? Secondly, Bart is not a show horse. He's not coming in here to be a flash in the pan for a game or two. He's in it for the long haul, and so am I. The Diamondbacks made a big move yesterday. The Yankees made an even bigger move, but the biggest move of all was the return of Bartolo Colon. And the Twins, the state of Minnesota, the entire world is better for it. And instead of letting this guy down, you should be doing everything in your power to pick him back up. And when you hit your knees at night, the very first thing that you should be thankful for is the fact that Big Sexy is gracing you with his presence. Now do your freaking job, because you know he's going to do his. Come on, Twins. You got to be better than that. He is. Now you need to be. Big day in Major League Baseball. Couple of big trades, and then even bigger than both those moves, that deal in Minnesota involving Big Bart. You know, I circle back and break down those trades themselves. I really do like what the Yankees did. I think that's a good move. It's not going to put them on par with Houston, obviously, because nothing would. But in the American League, when there are no monsters other than the Astros, you do what you can do. And the Yankees did. If they were really smart, they'd add a starting pitcher now. Question then becomes, what does Boston do in response? 1-800-636-8686. All right, on this Wednesday, middle of summer, I'm going to bounce around a little bit. Some other things I want to get to. Let's talk some college football. Did you check out Tom Herman, another big jungle guy? Texas head coach Tom Herman taking the podium at Big 12 Media Day. He showed up the way I would expect him to show up, and he's already changing the culture in Austin. And I want to get into how he's changing the culture. I love it. He's got a good way to go about this. He is rewarding those who win and penalizing those who don't. And I've got no issue with it whatsoever. Here's another topic that's come up on the show over the years. A few times, in fact, over the years. This notion of one-day contracts. I'm not looking to single out Paul Pierce for doing it. He's just the latest. But I've always had kind of an issue with this. To me, it just, how do I put this? It's really lame. One of the great triple U's. Guys who do what they do, end their careers where they end their careers, yet come running back to their greatest days and try and sign one dayer and say, yep, I'm going to retire as a Boston Celtic. I'm the truth. But it's not the truth, Paul. You didn't retire as a Celtic. You retired as an LA Clipper after two unforgettable years there where you really didn't get off the bench. And when you did, you didn't do a hell of a lot anyway. So do what you want, say what you want. I guess if you tell yourself a lie long enough, you start to believe it. But rest assured, Paul, the truth is you're retiring as a Clipper. I mean, what are you going to tell me next? You didn't spend that year in Washington? You didn't spend that year in Brooklyn? Trust me, you did. You can't erase that. It's in ink. Yeah, look, I'm not here to be a wet blanket. I'm not here to be a big buzzkill. But, and I've seen a lot of guys that I really like and admire. Paul Pierce for one. But you're not fooling anybody with this. All this is a big social media grab right now. And you're trying to whitewash the end of your career. It's not the first, it won't be the last. Signed, Shaq. Also, I mentioned the Smackoffs coming up. Yesterday, I had a reset of some of the RSVPs from some of the legends. Hey, listen, because you're a legend does not mean you're going to show up big on the big stage. There are certain people that when they show up the day of the Smackoff, the biggest of all stages, they go into the tank, it goes very badly. And you'd expect that because they're in, out in front of their skis. However, it even happens to the best of the best. The analogy that I would make, take MMA. In MMA, everybody loses. Everybody loses at some point in that sport. The best of the best, the guys who look unbeatable, the ladies who look unbeatable, they get beat. Take Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey looked unbeatable, and now she can't win a fight. Same with the Smackoff. Those who look unbeatable, or maybe not unbeatable, but untouchable, like they could never get run, end up getting run. So I'll break that down for you too. Something else to get into a little later on. You know how I always talk about driving with Uber? They're a major sponsor on the program. I want to work this into the show itself because some guys, some minor leaguers, did drive with Uber. It's a good thing Uber's there. Bail them out. Also, if you're anybody of note and you've got any name, somebody's going to try and rip your name. Identity theft. Not a commercial, but an actual take. Some guy purporting to be Chad Johnson, who looked nothing like Chad Johnson, showed up in a Louis Vuitton in Aspen and tried to charge up more than 18 grand worth of items.
Chad, please.
Pretty much what Chad thought, I'm sure. One problem, this dude looked about as much like Chad Johnson as I do. Didn't work out that well. I mean, if you're going to go chunked up and long-haired, you're going to pretend to be a guy, at least look like the guy. Also, I never thought this would happen. I look at my staff right now. You know, changing staff. All things change. All things evolve. But the one thing that stays pretty much the same is my man Alvin. Alvin is now the long...
Dude,
where are you going with this? Dude, you didn't tell me about this. What? Keep my name out of your mouth, Van Smack.
Dude.
Alvin's the one guy that I can count on. Alvin's now my right-hand guy. Alvin's my wing. Alvin's been here a decade about. So if anybody should know not to stick a piece of fish in the microwave on a day where we have business and company, you'd think it would be Alvin freaking DeLauro. Dude, if you had told me we were having company, I wouldn't have done that. You know that, Van Smack. Yeah, but Alvin, I did tell you. So here we are at this meeting. Here we are setting up a meeting that we've been setting up for quite some time. A critical meeting. A pivotal meeting. So critical that it obviously did not involve Alvin or any of the other XR4TI.
Dude.
So Alvin's like, dude, it's Tuesday. It's just another day here in the jungle. Oh, what? Hey, Alvin, can I tell you something? Meeting or no meeting? You of all people should know never to stick fish in a microwave in my office. Come on, man. It was our office until you started to cook fish. Now it's my office. Come on, man. What the hell is that? I'm running around with a can of Lysol. Dude, I'll take care of it. You can't take care of it. I mean, not only you could throw that microwave away and it wouldn't take care of it. Now we have to move. Stop putting fish in the microwave. I mean, what was that, carp? Was that halibut? Was that trout? Dude, can I tell you? Whatever you try to do overnight with your bleach or anything else, it didn't work. I can still smell it. Come on, man. And bro, if that deal that I tried to get done yesterday doesn't get done, out of your pocket, pal. Out of your pocket. Good luck having that conversation with Mill.
Dude, now.
Man, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know what got into me. I mean, you gave me the... Don't put that on me, Alvin DeLauro. I didn't give you that fish. Dude, did you catch that fish on the way in? What are you doing putting fish in our box, dude? Come on, Alvin. When we come back, Rex Hoggard, one of the famous Rexes, joins us. We talk some Open Championship.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This dude understands where I'm going with it. At Brand Brown, 94 tweets. This take on Big Sexy is getting me fired right back up on a Wednesday. What a time to be alive. Hashtag Big Bart. He nailed it.
I'm sexy and I know
it. What a time
it.
To be alive. And again, this whole notion of there's nothing to talk about. It's the dead of summer.
I'm sexy
That's lazy.
And I know it.
Lazy lazy and just something for hot takers to talk about. It's a good time to talk sports. There are things going on in the summer. Lots of different things. And most importantly, Brandon, you're right. It is a great time to be alive. Hashtag Big Bart. Pick him up, Minnesota. Listen, you don't choose Big Sexy. He chooses you. And he chose the Twins. So pick this guy up. Save your takes about how, yeah, Rome with a crane.
I'm sexy and I know it.
He's awesome and he knows it. And you best too. There is a lot going on, including the British Open Championship. We're joined right now, the Open Championship. We're joined right now by a senior writer for GolfChannel.com. He's Rex number 7. Not only joined by him, but he is on site at Royal Birkdale in Southport, England. Golf Channel and NBC are dedicating nearly 140 hours of TV coverage to the 146th Open from Royal Birkdale, from the first tee shot on Thursday to the final putt on Sunday. Rex, it's good to have you back in the jungle. How are you?
It actually feels like an Open Championship, finally. It's felt like San Diego for 3 days, Jim. So it's raining, the wind's blowing, so we finally feel like the Open has arrived.
Hey, Rex, you know I'm going there next, but first things first, you might very well be the first guest in show history live from Southport, England. How is life treating you these days?
It's a great place, and I think I was thinking about this today. If you go through all of the Open venues, this is probably the easiest one just from logistics. There's restaurants. It's a resort town. I mean, this is where the folks in England come to go to the beach, and there's tons of restaurants. But the more important thing, I'm literally standing outside of a Ladbrokes betting house right now. So that's always the best part of it.
That's a good thing. All right, so now you talked about the weather. Play was suspended today at Royal Birkdale due to a storm. What's the weather like right now?
Well, the rain finally arrived. They've been forecasting it for quite a while, and it's been absolutely perfect for the last 3 or 4 days as guys have gotten ready. And it's going to be interesting tomorrow morning because the sun was shining. There was very little wind. What wind there was for practice rounds, it was coming from what's going to end up being the opposite direction of what they face come Thursday. So all of that practice, all the lines you picked, all of the landing areas you kind of assumed were going to be safe, is going to change. So I think what we're going to see early tomorrow morning and throughout the day tomorrow will be guys sort of scrambling, trying to catch up, trying to figure out exactly how to play this golf course. And if the forecast holds, which is not surprising, it's for more wind, it's for a little bit more rain, but the wind's going to be the bigger factor. I think we're going to end up with a very similar scenario to what we had in 08, the last time the Open was here. And the scoring average on round one in 08 was 75.8. That was the hardest on tour that year. And it's going to be a demanding test.
Rex Hoggard is a GolfChannel.com senior writer. He's joining us on site at Royal Birkdale in Southport, England. All right, so that was the average score back then in 08. Yesterday, Rex, Phil Mickelson played a practice round without a driver. Do you think he's going to stick with that tomorrow, and will other players follow suit?
I don't know that other players will take the driver out of the car, leave it in the rental car. I don't think anybody's going to do that. That's still being Phil, let's be honest. It's the same guy that played a U.S. Open at Torrey Pines without a driver. He played with two drivers at a Masters 1 year. I mean, he kind of thinks a little bit outside the box than most guys. But talking with Rory this afternoon, talking with Jason Day, they all kind of subscribe to the same theory. You won't see a lot of drivers off tees for these guys. It's going to be a lot of long irons. You're going to try to keep it low, keep it out of the wind. It's going to be more of the traditional links-style golf course that we're used to seeing at this event.
Now, speaking of Rory, he finished tied for 7th at the Masters and then missed the cut at the U.S. Open. In fact, he's missed the cut in 3 of his last 4 worldwide events. So when you look at him and how he's playing right now, how does his game look to you?
I mean, to hear him talk, he's very optimistic. You go back to last week, he said he saw some bright spots on the greens as far as his putting, because that's been the big Achilles heel for him. It's been injury. I mean, you can probably go down the list of potential contenders. I mean, all the way from Dustin Johnson to certainly Rory, Jason Day, even Jordan Spieth to a certain degree. And you can kind of point to one or two things in their game that would kind of lead you to believe that maybe this isn't the week for them, and that maybe the first-time winners trend, which is 7 of the last major championships have been won by first-time winners, is going to continue simply because all of them have something that you should be concerned about. And certainly in Rory's case, it's his putting. It's the injury that's kept him from doing the things he needs to do leading into a major championship to be at his absolute best. That being said, I don't know of anybody in the game right now that can turn it around as quick as Rory, so I'm not ready to write him off quite yet.
Now, Rex, in terms of his putting, and you wrote about this last month at the Travelers Championship, he spent nearly 2 hours experimenting with five different putters before picking the one that he started the week with. So how much of his putting struggles are about the putter itself, and how much are about the guy who's holding it?
Well, he would be the first to admit. He said it today. He said, look, that putter is 2% of the problem, and the guy holding the putter is 98% of the problem. I mean, Rory owns it. He's not one of those guys that's constantly looking for a fix with new equipment. I think what he was trying to get at was something he felt a little more comfortable with. What was interesting, I was in Connecticut when he did that at the Travelers Championship, is the five putters he had ran the gamut. I mean, they were basically every model you could imagine. They went from a big mallet head, you know, something that doesn't really look right on the golf course, all the way down to a regular blade that he's played most of his career. And that's kind of what he settled on. And I think the trick this week for him, and he talked about it today, is he's gotten very, very technical with his putting. And what he needs to do is sort of separate all of those things he's been doing off the golf course to be more consistent and try just to be more natural, try to feel it, try to just focus in on his target and get out of that technical mindset.
We're talking to Rex Hoggard. Golf Channel and NBC are dedicating nearly 140 hours of TV coverage to the 146th Open from Royal Birkdale. Rex, before you go, you mentioned Jordan Spieth. Now, he's the odds maker's favorite right now. How does Royal Birkdale fit his game?
I think if you go back to the Open just a few years ago at St. Andrews in very, very difficult conditions, I think that was kind of a litmus test when you look at what Jordan is capable of doing this week. I was at the Travelers Championship. If he can do the things he did there, I mean, they were Tiger-esque. I mean, holding out the bunker shot, making the putts when you absolutely had to, all of those clutch things. It's not going to be the things that we probably focus on. We talked about Phil's driver and you know, how many drivers you're going to hit during a round. That, I don't think that's going to be important. It's going to be those key moments when you have to have a par save. Because, look, everyone's going to get in trouble this week. Everyone's going to have to recover from a bad bounce. That's just sort of the nature of Lynx golf. He's mentally strong enough, and if he's doing the things that he did at the Travelers Championship, I really think I would agree with the odds makers that he should be the favorite at this point in time.
So, Rex, final thought. You mentioned that amazing streak that we're on this incredible run of seven straight majors being won by a first-time major winner. Ultimately, can you see somebody breaking out from the pack at the top of golf, or is this just the way it's going to be for a while?
I think it's the way it's going to be for a while. I mean, we got so used to Tiger Woods, right? I mean, you would show up at these events, and you and I would probably be talking about picking Tiger versus the field, which is a ridiculous thought, but it was realistic at the time. I don't think we're ever going to have that again, at least not in my lifetime. Just simply, I think the margins have gotten so small between the top players. And if you look at what separates a Dustin Johnson from a Rory, from a Jordan, from a Jason Day, it's small percentages. And on a given week, any one of those guys can find themselves playing well, but doing it over the course of 6, 7, 8 years like Tiger Woods did, I don't know that that's realistic anymore, simply because the depth in golf and the parity in golf is much, much more now than it was, at least when I started my career, especially throughout Tiger Woods' era.
All right, so finally then, that depth and that parity and the fact that the margins are so small, how much of that is about technology and coaching?
I think it has a big thing to do with that. Rory talked about that today. That's a very good point. I think that guys are so much smarter now. They know their swing so much better. The technology is so much better. There were guys talking about hitting a drive on 9 this week over a grandstand that was no more than 50 yards away. And it's a shot that just 10 years ago at 08, no one even considered. And I think that gives you an indication of how things have progressed just in the last 10 years. I think the players are more physically fit now. I mean, let's face it, Dustin Johnson, he looks like he could play in the NBA or the NFL. I mean, they're just athletes now, maybe more so than they were 10 years ago. All of these things kind of combined to make it much, much more difficult for anyone to ever do what Tiger Woods did in his prime.
Rex, totally. I mean, just sidebar off topic for a minute. We always talk about Tiger Woods. Is he going to come back? He's not going to come back. What's that mean to the sport? I'm going to tell you the guy that I really miss. Not Tiger, but my man Anthony Kim. That's the guy that I miss.
You know, he was a special player. I was talking with his swing coach just a few weeks ago at the U.S. Open, and it will be interesting. I don't know if the last chapter has been penned when it comes to AK. And it's funny when you talk to Paul Azinger, who's the captain of that Ryder Cup team, and he really talks about the importance and the energy that Anthony brought to that team room. And he had an amazing run. I mean, for that short span of time, he really had that it factor that only Tiger Woods had, that he was the only guy you could compare him to. Now, he wasn't winning at the same clip, but there was just something electric around him. And again, I have to be honest with you. I'm not sure that we've heard the last of Anthony, and that would be great for the game, because I'm with you. I mean, he was an entertaining and a fun player to be around.
Listen, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to say that while he didn't have that career and nobody was going to compare him to Jack Nicklaus, I think that he had as much, if not more, it. I've never seen a golfer with that kind of swagger. I've never seen a guy walk the course. I mean, even in a different way from Tiger, of course, Rex, but I've never seen a guy walk the course with the kind of swagger that AK had. So I hope you're right. When you say that that might not be the end, I hope you're right. He is Rex number 7, a GolfChannel.com senior writer, and our first ever guest live from Southport, England. Rex, great job. Always good to have you on.
Thanks, Jim. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Golf Channel and NBC, once again, all over the coverage, 140 hours worth. And I hope he's right. I love Anthony Kim. And he's shown up of late, kind of, a little bit, sort of. I hope we have not seen the last of him. And that guy was great for golf, too. And hopefully still can be. Like Tiger's not showing up again. Not on the course and not where it matters. I mean, he's played probably his last great round. Maybe AK too, or maybe not. When we come back, we are open until the middle of hour number 2. Philip Rivers coming up then. Ben Mezrek making his annual appearance in the jungle. Count on that thing. Every single summer, Ben's going to be here in studio talking about his latest project, and they all kill. First things first, though, I've got a sports update. Here's the very latest on this Wednesday.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Wednesday's an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So remember, if you want to ask me a question, do not tweet the question. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. There's some really good questions on Twitter that I can't get to because if you want to participate in this part of the contest, you got to go through that. CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Get your battery tested for free. If it needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery that you need at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. My thanks to Rex Hoggard. I've got Philip Rivers coming up next hour. Ben Mezrek in studio. Top of hour number 3. This email says, Red Romer. On behalf of Minnesotaites everywhere, I do apologize for not picking up Bart last night. I mean, who can? Hey-o! Signed Nick in the Land of the Norsemen. Didn't I already say don't do that? Don't do that? Pick this cat up. You didn't pick him, he picked you, so you pick him up. Wore me screaming like YOLO in excitement when I saw that fat man get on the bump. Yoko, not YOLO. Yoko. That's art. You know, if you don't get that, that's on you, not her. That's brilliant. That's awesome. I bump that in my car all the time. I work out to that. Especially that part. I love that part. Now, today is my 20th anniversary. You know that, right? Makes me think about my wedding night. Hey-o! Okay, I'll be fine. Janet's not going to be real happy with me, even if it is true. Hey-o! 20 years ago today, Janet and I got married. I bring that up not because I hit on a lot of real personal stuff, but so many of you go so far back with me. Some of you may even remember when we got married. 20 years ago today, and for the record, the single best day of my entire life. And I know that if I live 5 more years, 10 more years, 30 more years, 40 more years, I will never have a better day than that. That was the single greatest day of my entire life. So, happy anniversary, sweetheart. That was the greatest day of my entire life, and you are still, always have been, the best person I've ever met. I used to get quite a bit of that. Like Janet back in the day. Janet was a hugely, and I've told this story before, but the short version is, Janet, when I met Janet, she was a very, very successful broadcast executive. She was way more successful in this game than I was when I met her. And for quite some time thereafter. So she used to, before we had kids and Janet worked, she would actually come on the road and she would come to Super Bowl and she would come to the tour stops and it was great. The second we had Jake 16 years ago, that was the end of that. I mean, she never took another road trip ever again because now she's a mom, gave up her career and wanted to be a mom. But when Janet would come on the road, inevitably the coaches and players would all look at me and look at her and say, dude, how did you ever pull that? Yo, bro, you overachieved, right? I'm like, yeah, right. Hey, I know. Stop saying that, man. I don't want her to find out. So I married the best person I have ever met in my entire life. How many people can say that? I'm not even sure how I pulled that off. So I try not to overthink it. Happy anniversary, sweetheart. 20 freaking years. This email reads, hey, Romestead, I'm a Royals fan. I hate that the Twins got Colon. He doesn't pitch good. What makes him good is guys strike out because when his back leg hits the ground, it startles the batter and it measures on the Richter scale. Hashtag fat. No, hashtag weak. Hashtag hack, as in you're a hack for sending me an email like that. Why do you always go back to this guy's weight? This guy's weight, man. This guy's an incredible athlete. Amazing athlete. Have you ever seen this guy swing it? Have you seen this guy run? Have you seen this guy pitch? Have you seen how this guy's doing it at that age? Come on. Have you seen the guy go around the back to first base? Man, stop already with how fat this guy is. Hashtag fat. Hashtag hack. You're a hack, 12. Got to be better than that. Go to the phones. Check out this guy. So I mentioned that that's the first time we've ever had a guest from Southport, England, live. I'm not saying this is the first time we've ever had a guy from a train, but it doesn't happen very often. We go to a train somewhere between L.A. and Del Mar. Ira Craig is on the train. Ira, I've got a feeling I know exactly what you're doing and where you're headed. What's going on, Ira?
Romy, I'm the guy that Johnny Cash was thinking about when he said, there's probably some folks sitting in a fancy dining car drinking JD whiskey and smoking green cigars, brother. I am rolling down to where the turf meets the surf for a big day at Del Mar. And let me tell you, it's a beautiful thing, man. And congratulations on your anniversary there, Romy. Janet is a great gal.
I appreciate that, Irene. I know you know Janet because you used to see her at the tour stops. All right, bro, now talk to me about this. Believe it or not, I have never been to Del Mar opening day because it's always the middle of the week. So for those, and people are tweeting me about it, for those who have not been to that show, what's it like?
Yeah, well, even by my standards where it's a new high and low every week, Romy, it's off the charts, raging. It's just savage beauties and liquored up gambling fools like myself, and it's just a great day, man. It's the sun's out, you know, the horses are beautiful, and hopefully I'll have some cabbage in my pocket at the end of the day instead of having a rabbit between my legs, you know what I mean, with my empty pockets hanging out each side. But either way, it's all good. And speaking of all good, Romy, I'll throw in a little RSVP for the smack off here. I'll be there one way or another. And, dude, how about the Dodgers, Romy? I got to say, brother, in the 25 years, I've been with you longer than you've been with Janet. Think about that. Is that sick? And this has to be a high watermark, brother, for the Dodgers. And I think I'm praying that we finally get that World Series victory this year, dude. You think the Del Mar opening day is a party? If that happens, it's going to be off the Richter scale party time.
Listen, there's a lot to unpack right there, Ira. I want to respond to all of that. So, listen, have a great day down there. I appreciate the RSVP. I'll see you on the 28th, Ira. And doesn't he make a great point? Ira literally has been calling this show longer than Janet and I have been married. And we've been married 20 years to today. So that's incredible. That's how far back Ira and I go. And Ira has been calling this show for 25 years plus and talking about two things. In effect, well, three things. Horse racing, the Dodgers, and getting blasted. And he dropped all those things in there. The thing about that train, I've taken that train. The train from L.A., the train from Orange County, wherever you pick that train up. I've taken that bullet train from L.A., from Orange County, down to Del Mar. Man, it is awesome. It's a great way to go. Because if you hit the traffic wrong, it's the worst way to go. But taking that train down to Del Mar, let's be real for a minute. Taking that train down to Del Mar is like driving into Vegas or flying into Vegas. You're shot out of a cannon when you get there. You get off the plane, you get out of your car, you show up in Vegas, or you go to McCarran, and you get off that plane, and you hit the airport. And man, you are shot out of a freaking cannon. You're looking for a slot machine to drop something into. You're looking for a cocktail, if you haven't already had a few on the plane. And the adrenaline is off the charts. But then you get there, and then suddenly it's not what you think it's going to be. And you get off to a bad start. So what do? You don't check yourself. You don't take a step back. You double down. You start chasing. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Then you hit the ATM. Then you run your credit card. And all of a sudden, you're up a creek. And that ride back is brutal. Man, it is brutal. Now, we've had that ride back, and it's much more infrequent. But that ride back when you've hit big, and you've hit a run, and you come back with more than you went there with, and it feels awesome. But how often does that happen? So I know what Ira's talking about. You hope to have a big day, and you hope to hit that train going back the other way. But I've hit that train. And let me tell you, when I go to Del Mar, I gamble. I'll bet. And I'm not very good at it. I've never really taken the time to learn how to be a great handicapper. I just haven't. Because my feeling's always been this. I'm about the horses. Like, there are some people in that game, frankly, you know, we own thoroughbred horses. There are people in that game, and I'm not here to judge. We're all in the game for different reasons. There are people in that game that don't love the animal. I love the animal more than I love the game. And you might try and argue that point. That's a whole different topic. But I love the animal more than I love the game. And I love the game. But I don't love the bet. And to me, the bet was when we bought the horse. So I'm not really a very good gambler. I've just never taken the time to learn. So believe me, we've gone down there, and our bet is the horse, and I've had horses that run DFL, dead freaking last. Do you know what it's like to have this horse, pay for a horse for an entire month, and it'd blow your mind if you knew what it cost to maintain a racehorse, to wait an entire month, to see the horse train brilliantly, you know he's going to run a big one. You go down there, you wait 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, you're on the train, you wait all day, the clock is spinning so slowly, and then you're hyped, and then the horse goes into the gate and runs last. You walk back, you head to the train, and everybody there knows you ran last, and you're hearing it. Hey, Van Smack, great race, Van Smack. Hey, Van Smack, you gonna pay me that $20 I lost on your goat? Trust me, that train ride back can be miserable, or it can be awesome. You never know. So, Ira, have a great day. Good luck with it. As far as the Dodgers, this guy's been calling for 25 years, and I think I speak for both Ira and myself. I'm not sure I've ever seen an L.A. Dodger team like this one. In case you're not paying attention, as you're watching the Astros bury a glove, the Dodgers have ripped off 30 of 34. They've won 30 of their last 34. I think it might be the best L.A. Dodger team I've ever seen. 11-1 for the month. Dear Rome, wow. Can't believe Ira actually took our advice. Signed, the Quad City DJs. Here you go, Frank. You got it in. Way to go, Frank. You got it in. Take the rest of the day off. No, Frank, take the rest of the week off. Frank, take the entire summer off. Hey, Frank, see you in 2018. Philip Rivers coming up next hour. When we come back, I want to talk about Tom Herman and what he's doing to change the culture of the Longhorns. That's next. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. This is CBS Sports Radio.